Well, it's the big question now. Even Republican presidential candidates are being asked it. What about you? Would you attend a same-sex, quote, wedding?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Look, I get asked this question on a regular basis now. People write, people call, people ask me personally, what do you think I should do? You know, it's more and more common to get invited to a same-sex, quote, wedding ceremony. We want to be godly. We want to honor the Lord. We want to walk in love. We want to cherish holiness in the meaning of marriage. We want to care about people. We want to stand up for what's right. We don't want to push people away. What's the right response? Is there one right response? Is it a black and white issue? Should it be? 866-348-7884. Michael Brown, welcome to the broadcast. A shout out to all of our friends listening in Iowa on our great station, KTIA FM. We have now switched from the second hour of the show, so that would have been, you would have heard me in the past, from 2 to 3 Central Time. Now you're hearing me from 1 to 2 Central Time on a much bigger signal so we can speak to many more of you. So glad to reach more of you in greater Iowa. 866-34-TRUTH, the number to call on this Wednesday as we focus on things having to do with the world, Worldview Wednesday, what's happening in the world, our society. Marco Rubio was asked about this. He gave his response. Rick Perry was asked about it. Rick Santorum has been asked about it. You know, this is now the question for Republican candidates. How will they respond? Let's hear what Rick Perry had to say. He was being interviewed by Hugh Hewitt. Now, Hugh Hewitt is a leading conservative talk show host. Many of you are familiar with him, but a leading conservative talk show host, conservative Christian values. He's well known for interviewing major government and world leaders on his show. So he's not hostile to conservative values. Most of the people asking these questions perhaps are doing it kind of with a gotcha. You know, we're going to catch you. In fact, Rick Perry said this is the gotcha question. Of course, you was asking it. But clip number one, let's see how Governor Perry responded.
Probably would, but I think the real issue here is we need to be, you know, stand up and say, hey, listen, you know what, that's an interesting question. Here's my answer. But get this thing back to talking about how do we get Americans back working again? How do we get this economy back on track? I mean, to me, there's two big issues out here in front of us. It's the economy and it's national defense. And if you're not really talking about those two on a regular basis and coming up with solutions on how to get this country back working, how to get this debt under control, and how to put America back into a position of being respected by our allies and being an influence in the world, then you're spending some time that frankly, doesn't need to be spent on some issues that are secondary or tertiary to the future of this country.
What'd you think of that answer? What'd you think of Rick Perry's answer? First, yeah, I probably would. You know, minor, not a big deal. Probably would, but I'm not going to talk about that. You're not going to make me talk about that. I'm not going to focus on that. Instead, I'm going to focus on economy, and I'm going to focus on national defense. But hang on. What about the fact that he said, those are the major issues. We're not going to talk about things that are secondary and tertiary for the future of this country. That raises some serious concerns for me. So what would you do? Your sister, your brother, your cousin, your best friend sends you an invitation. You know, of course, your brother or sister, they talk to you face to face. You know, best friend talks to you face to face, but you get the invitation. Hey, I'm getting married. I'm so excited. I met the person of my dreams. We're so happy. We're getting married. We want you to attend. And it's same sex. Would you go? Would you do it? Would you risk turning them off, hurting them, offending them? Or would you feel you'd be offending the Lord if you went? We'll be right back.
we want, for fire we please.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yeah, I think I'm going to write an article on the Rick Perry comments, as brief as they were, because they point to something larger. For you as a voter, If a candidate downplayed these issues having to do with the redefining of marriage and said they're not important, if a candidate downplayed them and said, look, what's important is economy and national defense, and we can't be majoring on these other issues, would that turn you off? Would you say, oh, I'm concerned about other things as well, but you better believe the issue of redefining of marriage is major. You better believe this issue of the assault on our freedoms of religion, speech, and conscience is major. And that's your position. I'm not voting for you. 866-34-TRUTH. Now, Senator Ted Cruz has urged pastors to preach about biblical marriage. Here's a report by Heather Clark on ChristianNews.net from just yesterday. Republican presidential candidate Ted Cruz has sent a letter to tens of thousands of pastors nationwide urging them to preach about biblical marriage the weekend before the U.S. Supreme Court is scheduled to hear oral arguments over states' rights regarding the definition of marriage. This is what he said. On Tuesday, April 28th, the United States Supreme Court is scheduled to hear arguments in favor of same-sex so-called marriage. How will the American church respond? He asked. The prophet Daniel described the people who know their God as people who do two things, display strength and take action. So he's saying, all right, April 28th is when the Supreme Court's going to begin hearing arguments about this. So preach the weekend before. Preach on what biblical marriage is. Preach on what it really refers to. He said, we know that marriage is intended to be sacred, beautiful, and nourishing. If you do not influence your congregation's understanding of marriage, who will fill the void? Hollywood? Divorce courts? The church has not shared the truth about marriage. Well, it's time to repent, commit ourselves to courage on this front. I'd vote for someone that stands for that. Now, I'd have to see in other ways whether Ted Cruz was qualified to be president, would be a good leader. But stances like that and calling for leaders to speak on these things, amen to that. And I'm pleased to say, yeah, I'd vote for that person. Of course, you govern everybody, atheists and non-believers and people of other religions. But you call Christians to be Christian as a Christian yourself. So obviously, he would not attend a same-sex, quote, wedding ceremony. Rick Santorum was asked if he would attend. He said he wouldn't. Ted Cruz, when he was asked this directly, passed on the question. I've got to look at that. But, Matt, let's listen to what Marco Rubio had to say. And, all right, we'll cue that up in a moment. This was media asking Marco Rubio if he'd attend a gay, quote, wedding ceremony, especially if he was invited by a relative or a close friend. All right, let's listen to what he had to say.
You believe that a marriage should be between a man and a woman.
Yes.
But if someone in your family or your office happens to be gay and they invite you to their wedding, would you go?
If there's someone that I love that's in my life, I don't necessarily have to agree with their decisions or the decisions they've made to continue to love them and participate in important events. No, I'm a member of the Catholic faith. It teaches that marriages, after you get married the first time, if you've been divorced, you can't be remarried. And yet people attend second marriages all the time. Ultimately, how you treat a person that you care for and love is different from what your opinion is or what your faith teaches marriage should be. And I would point out that we live in a free society. If people want to change the definition of marriage, they should petition their state legislature, and they can have that debate in a political arena. Who I don't think should be redefining marriage is the court system.
All right, so he does lay out philosophy there, but he says, "Hey, look, I'm Catholic, and as a Catholic, we don't believe in remarriage, a divorce and remarriage in most circumstances, but it happens all the time, and I'd attend a wedding like that. So why would that be any different?" There's one more clip. Yes, let's listen to a little bit more as he's being asked further by Jorge Ramos of Fusion TV's America program.
The question is if you would attend to a gay wedding.
Yeah, but somebody in my life that I love and care for, of course I would. I mean, I'm not going to hurt them simply because I have a disagree with the choice they've made, or I disagree with the decision they've made, or whatever it may be. Ultimately, you know, if someone that you care for and is part of your family has decided to move in that in one direction or another, or feels that way because of who they are, who they love, you respect that because you love them. But again, as I said, I'm a member of the Catholic faith that teaches, for example, that divorce is wrong. But if someone gets divorced, I'm not going to stop loving them or having them a part of our lives.
Ah, all right. So he's saying, I got to be loving. I've got to be caring. I don't want to hurt someone. I don't agree, but I don't want to hurt someone. The question would be, when you attend a wedding, are you celebrating that with them? Are you, by attending, in some way endorsing that? When they say you can now kiss the groom, and it's a groom kissing a groom, you can now kiss the bride, and it's a bride kissing, I now pronounce you husband and wife, or whatever the terminology would be, and everyone claps, could you do that in good conscience? I couldn't. I'll tell you in a bit how I would handle that personally, but I couldn't do that in good conscience. So you it when... he asked Rick Santorum specifically this question, would he attend a gay, quote, marriage ceremony? Rick Santorum said, no, I would not. When asked why not, he said, as a person of my faith, that would be something that would be a violation of my faith. I would love them and support them, but I would not participate in that ceremony. That's where I'm at. Ted Cruz, when he was asked directly, said that's part of the gotcha game that the mainstream media plays, where they come after Republicans on every front, and it's designed to caricature Republicans to make them look stupid or evil or crazy or extreme. Sadly, most media players are not actually objective journalists. They're active partisan players. And he called reporters the Praetorian Guard protecting the Obama administration, now gearing up for the Hillary campaign. Cruz said he had not attended a gay, quote, marriage ceremony, but made no commitments about the future. Well, I will tell you, I haven't faced the circumstance. I've not had a loved one have a gay wedding. You know, at the end of the day, what the media tries to twist the question of marriage into this, they try to twist into a battle of emotions and personalities. So they say, gosh, any conservative must hate gays. He said he's a conservative Christian, but also a constitutionalist. Quote, what we've seen in recent years from the left is the federal government, unelected federal judges, imposing their own policy preferences to tear down the marriage laws of the states. And so if someone is running for public office, it is perfectly legitimate to ask them their views on whether they're willing to defend the Constitution, which leads marriage to the states, whether they want to impose their own extreme policy views like so many on the left are doing, like Barack Obama does, like Hillary Clinton does. Well, I say he's been strong enough on his views on this, that you know where he stands, and that he was just refusing to play the media game. That's another approach which has its merit, and also has merit to answer directly and then to continue to push your issues and your viewpoint. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Manhattan. Obadiah, you're first up today on the Line of Fire.
God bless you. Thank you for the good work you do. I would, as a Christian, definitely attend, because the Bible shows us Jesus, when he called Levi, bound to call the sinners. And if we go, let's say you were invited to a sacrifice where they sacrifice animals, where you get the meat, like the Bible says, and you're disposed to go, you go. But if they say to you, this is sacrifice unto devils or this God, that God, don't do it. Not for your conscience, but for their conscience, because the Bible says, don't let the freedom that you have cause your brother or sister to fall. But beloved, we're in this world without of the world. I love people, man. I tell you, that doesn't mean I'm endorsing the marriage thing that they're doing. No, but I love them and whatever. But I just keep serving the Lord. Now, if they tell me by attending this marriage, you're saying that this is the right thing to do. No, I'm not saying that. Mm-hmm. I just respect what they're doing. But I believe in the Lord and I love people.
All right, let me ask you a question. I appreciate your heart. I appreciate your love. I just want to get your perspective. When Paul talked about idolatrous issues, he wasn't talking about a ceremony like offering a sacrifice, but a food served to you, because a lot of the food you buy, you know, from the public stalls, they're selling meat, and a lot of the meat was offered first to an idol And then after that, you know, now they're selling it. After the animal's been sacrificed, now they're selling the meat. So you just eat the meat because you don't know what it is. But would it be, unless they bring it up, in which case you don't for their sake, because, you know, the food itself is neutral. But the ceremony thing would not be neutral. So let's just say there was a Hindu friend and said, we've got this new idol in and we're dedicating the idol next week. And we would love for you to come to the ceremony when we dedicate this idol and burn incense to it. Would you go to that?
I would go to the whatever they're doing there. But I would behave myself as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ and not endorse. I do not endorse what they're doing. But by going there, I'm not necessarily endorsing it, but I behave myself as a Christian and speak out. If they ask me, are you in agreement with this kind of thing? Serving other
gods, no. Got it. All right. So you've heard Obadiah's position. What's your position? I've got a different take. That's Obadiah as a Christian. We'll take your calls when we come back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, blessed and delighted to be with you as always, serving as your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. I'm talking about Republican presidential candidates asking if they would attend a gay, quote, wedding. The reason I say, quote, is not to attack gays and lesbians who are listening, not to demean their family members and friends, but simply to say I don't recognize it as a wedding. I will refer to same-sex so-called marriage. We'll talk about redefining marriage. Now, you may say that's a complete attack on me. You may say I'm a gay person. That's a complete attack on me and my relationship. I understand you feel like that. Of course I understand you feel like that. Can you understand, though, that if marriage has always meant the union of a man and woman, even if it's various forms, polygamous and other things, it was still male-female, that if I say 2 plus 2 equals 4, that's spelling. No, that's not spelling. That's math. Cat is spelled C-A-T. That's spelling, not math. Well, the same way marriage has always had a certain meaning, once you redefine it, it becomes meaningless. If it's not the union of a man and a woman, can anybody give me a solid reason why it should be limited to two people or even require two people? Why you couldn't marry yourself, as some people have recently done? Why you couldn't have throuples, as is becoming more common, where there are three lesbians or three gay men? You know, you're hearing examples of it, different countries and things like that. Well, why not? Why not? If it's not the union of a man and woman, then why must it be limited to two? Or why does it require two? I've not yet heard a coherent answer to that. And more people saying, yeah, love is love. Let it be what it is. So I'm simply not willing to call it marriage or wedding. And I feel it's very important that we hold that ground. That being said, there are different positions. There is, hey, Jesus hung out with tax collectors and sinners and spent time with them and turned water into wine at a wedding. And certainly people are going to get drunk in a context like that. So we just go and we bless and we love and we have our differences, but that's private. We want to show solidarity. Others would say that's the whole thing. We can't show solidarity. You know, what if it was two blood brothers who got, quote, married? And there are requests for that. There are people who want to get married in incestuous relationships, father, daughter, brothers, things like that. It's happened. There are brother and sister and things like that. So brother and sister for sure, father and daughter for sure, have petitioned courts. I'm not sure about two brothers yet or two sisters, but certainly the others. Well, would you attend that, quote, wedding if it was legal, or just at a church ceremony? Would you say, no, I can't endorse that? Are you endorsing it by your presence? Or is there a way to say, okay, I'm going to reach out to them beforehand, explain why I can't go, see if I can have a meal with them before, after, keep reaching out relationally, but explain why I can't go. How do I handle it? 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Silver Spring, Maryland. Stephen, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you very much. The reason why I'm calling is because I heard you talk about the Governor Perry.
Yes.
I believe that he's a nice man, but I would never vote for him.
And because?
Well, mainly because, you know, he is an ultra-conservative, and he has been putting, you know, the family either in second or third place and putting other things ahead of the family.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the reasons why I will not vote for him. But he's such a very nice man. He looks almost like Ronald Reagan. You know,
well, there's a lot about Rick Perry that I like, and from people close to him that I know, he seems to be a seriously committed Christian. Obviously, his lack of debating skills really cost him. You know, he might have ended up being the Republican candidate if he had better debating skills. I mean, he blew it horrifically there, and I don't know if that can fully be overcome. But yeah, I'm totally with you. When I hear this comment, that it's not so much that he said, I probably would, but that's not my focus. All right, I differ with the approach, but I understand you don't want to get caught up on that. You don't want to make that your focus. You're the leader. You want to push your agenda and your talking points. But he says that the candidate, frankly, doesn't need to be spent on some issues that are secondary or tertiary to the future of this country. Redefining marriage is hardly secondary or tertiary. So, Stephen, yeah, if that's his core position, I'm with you on that. I'm with you on that. I see it the same way, sir. Thank you for calling in. 866-34-TRUTH. We go to Richmond, Virginia. Judy, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Oh, thank you for taking my call. When you were talking about Rick Perry, and he said that the most important things now were foreign defense.
National defense and economy.
National defense and the economy. Immediately I thought, we believe that God judges nations, and if we don't take his laws seriously and stand for them, God's judgment is going to be much worse than anybody else's in this world could inflict on us. So, you know, for a Christian, they have to. One reason we're in the fix we're in is they have compromised, because polls all along have shown we didn't want homosexuals to be able to marry, but it's just pushed through by those on the left that want that. So, and that goes along with abortion and our borders. They just don't do what is, you know, the logical or the moral thing to do.
Yeah, you know, and it's a strange thing, Judy. Of course, more polls now are, especially with the media bombardment and the demonizing of opponents, more polls now are pointing to more and more Americans, especially the younger generation, but more and more Americans being in favor of redefining marriage. And it may shift like that for a while, and by God's grace, I believe it'll shift back as we watch the fruit of what happens and of redefining marriage and all the implications and the bullying of those who differ. So if Jesus doesn't come first, I'm looking at the long-term vision, long-term battle. But you're right, Judy, the Democratic candidates will be Democratic, and they're strongly pro-abortion, and they want to redefine marriage, and they'll talk about these things and make it part of their platform. And the Republicans, I mean, it'll be in the platform that we're conservative and moral on these issues, but the candidates just, they're going to compromise. And then as a result of that, you don't get out the strong conservative and evangelical base and end up losing the election. Why can't they just stand? I mean, some of them are. I'm very thankful that some of them are clearly. Hey, Judy, thank you for the call. Friends, I'm going to keep taking calls, so stay right there. I'm going to get to a lot more calls. But I want to encourage you to join our support team. From the heart, I want to encourage you to join our support team. Your monthly giving undergirds this ministry. Your monthly support, at least $1 a day per month, so $30 or more per month. For somebody, that's a big faith step. For some, it's very easy. Why not become a torchbearer today? If you believe in what we're doing, if you want to amplify my voice to get on more and more stations across the country and help us produce even more and more effective material to really spark a Jesus-based moral and cultural revolution, join our team today. Would you do that? Call 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978, or go to the website, Ask Dr. Brown, ASK.com. drbrown.com. Click on donate, and you'll see a list of all the ways that we will sow back into you and bless you as you stand with us. Together, we're making a difference.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Line of Fire. When God spoke to me 10 years ago to get involved with homosexual issues, the word that he spoke to me, and you can believe or not that he speaks today, some of you don't believe he exists, so don't worry about him speaking then, but I know him as God and Father, and he does speak, he does lead. The word I heard was reach out and resist. Heard this in my inner ear. Reach out and resist. Reach out to the people with compassion. Resist the agenda with courage. The more I sat with those who identify as LGBT, the more I read their stories, the more compassion I had, the more my heart broke for them, the more I wanted to do whatever I could to demonstrate the love of God to them. At the same time, I fully realized that the gay agenda had become the principal threat to freedom of religion, speech, and conscience in America and was having a detrimental effect on our society in many, many other ways, and that needed to be resisted. So there's a certain holy tension that you live with, because you care about people, and the vast majority of gays and lesbians are not activists, and yet you oppose the activist agenda. So by opposing the agenda, you're going to hurt people you love. If you say the more important thing is just love on people and you back away from the agenda, then you're hurting people in another way. So it's the kind of holy tension now that believers feel today when they get an invitation, because now this is personal. This is family member. This is friend. This is personal. Would you attend a, quote, gay wedding? We'll go to Arlington, Virginia. Nancy, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you.
Okay. I just wanted to ask a question, and then I will make a brief comment.
Yep.
Don't you think that what's going on with Christians now, like you said, because of the tension, Christians don't want it to seem like they don't want to take a side. They want to stay in the demilitarized zone, in the gray areas, so as not to seem offensive to the gays, and so as not to seem like they're turning their backs on what Christianity says about marriages.
Yes, absolutely. There's no question that people don't want to offend. Sometimes for good motivation, you know, they care about people and they don't want to be misunderstood on controversial moral and social issues, so they try to stay out of it. And some stay out of it because they're man pleasers, because they're lacking backbone, because they're lacking conviction. But no question, this is symptomatic of a larger mentality in the body today.
Okay. And that's just what I wanted to say. Like, I know I am prone to being that way, and we as Christians are prone to being that way. But what I know that what Christ wants is people who will not deny him, who will take up the cross of being seen as non-compromisers, narrow-minded, and all of that, just so that they stand on the truth of God's word. And it's unfortunate, and it's sad that so many Christians don't want to be in that position. It's just sad. And I think we need to pray that God gives us the boldness that he gave Peter and the others, you know, to stand for Christ.
Look, and Nancy, I often refer to this, but when my wife, named Nancy as well, when Nancy and I got married in 1976, I had become good friends with the local rabbi. Of course, he kept trying to influence me to turn me away from faith in Jesus, but we became good friends, so Nancy got to know him as well. We invited him to our wedding, which was going to be held in a church, and he said, I can't come. It's not a Jewish wedding. Now, we remained friends, but as a rabbi, he couldn't come because he's a rabbi. He believes that we shouldn't be following Jesus. We're getting married by a pastor in a church. Maybe if it had been a Messianic Jewish ceremony, if those existed then, and it was a Jewish wedding, maybe he would have come, but I don't know, because it still would have been in Jesus' name. But I respected that. He was a rabbi, and he explained why he couldn't come. I respect that. I accept that. But if we're going to worry about I can't do what's right because it's going to offend people, then we can't follow Jesus. You are exactly right. Back to your calls on the other side of the break. This is Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution, with a shout out to all of our torchbearers. You, our monthly supporters, are the backbone of this ministry, and you keep the line of fire burning bright. To find out, friends, how you can become a torchbearer, go to askdrbrown.org. Click on donate.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yeah, again, thank you from the heart for standing with us. All of you torchbearers listening right now, helping us spread the fire, helping us carry the torch of truth, helping us stand backbones of steel, hearts of compassion. Give yourself a smile and a high five. Thank you. All of our torchbearers, every month we send you a new message, a recently preached message of mine, every so often a classic message from years past. We give you free access to our online video classes that we've recorded and some audio classes as well, a 15% discount on our online bookstore, and send you a thank you gift when you sign up. So thank you for standing with us, being part of our team, and thank you for all those who join us today. Again, go to the website, askdrbrown.org, click on donate, become a torchbearer today. Thank you for helping us do what we do, literally for holding my hands up and amplifying my voice 5 days a week, well, 7 days a week, all the ministry that we do here and around the world. We'll go to Delaware, Ohio. Jason, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown, great stuff, as usual, man, always equipping me and helping me share. I really appreciate your ministry, brother. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Well, sir, it's hit my family. I have a relative, a close relative, who is marrying her, I love the way you put it, quote unquote, marrying her lesbian partner sometime this year, if it's not already, sometime this year. And so I'm going to go with 16 others of my family. And when it comes to the part of the marriage ceremony that says, does anyone have any objections? I'm going to read the preface introduction in first chapter of a book you may have heard of. The first chapter is A Stealth Agenda. My next relative will read chapter 2, and then I'll have, and so on and so forth. And no, I'm kidding, of course, Dr. Brown, but I'm not going, of course. And they don't even ask me. I'm an Assembly of God minister. They knew not even to come to me to ask me to do the ceremony. They already know. Because the guy who led me to Christ, we were both outraging alcoholics, and we were both transformed the very core of our being, as you so put so well. And so they know where we stand, and you know they know this too, that we give our lives for them, and we love them. And if we saw her and her partner attacked by some people, we would chip in, not just because they're family, but because we love people. We may not agree with their lifestyle, and we can't go and celebrate a thing, just as we couldn't go to other family members. They have big old beer parties. And they know not to ask me and all of us who used to be a part of those things and used to lead the way, but now Jesus has changed it. So just wanted to comment, brother, and thank you so much for equipping us. And I hope you like the little joke there, but that's pretty much it.
Oh, Jason, you got me on it. I'm sitting here thinking, okay, wait. You're going to, I think, okay, you're going to protest. Is that the way to handle it? 16, you're going to protest, and a queer thing happened to America as we start about. So read the first chapter. I mean, that'd take, you know, an hour or two, whatever. But something I was kind of wondering is, I was trying to find a gentle way to say that may not be the best approach, but you got me on that. But I'm with you totally. And again, people are people. I know that they can be offended. I know they can take it as a slap in the face. But generally speaking, relationships are not made or broken on just one event. It can happen. But if consistently there's reaching out, there's loving, there's sharing, yeah, they understand. You don't agree, you don't believe it's marriage, but you remain involved in their lives. I'm totally with you on that, Jason. Thanks for what you do and for the kind words. 866-34-TRUTH. Diane in Charlotte, North Carolina. Hey, Diane, do you know about the event in Charlotte tomorrow night?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Excuse me.
At the Unitarian Universalist Church in Charlotte, Unitarian Universalist Church. I am going to be having a friendly, free-form debate with an atheist, and it's going to be broadcast live on intranet TV as well. So for everybody listening and our great Charlotte audience, tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, they do have tickets. The church is charging $10 for general public, $5 for students. But it's on 234 North Sharon Amity Road in Charlotte. Everyone that's not in Charlotte, North Carolina, we'll let you know how you can listen live on online radio. But to all of our listeners in Charlotte, that's tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, Thursday night, 7 o'clock, Christianity and Atheism Debate. I'll be debating David Smalley, 234 North Sharon Amity Road, Unitarian Universalist Church of Charlotte. Okay, Diane, back to you.
Yes.
Your thoughts on the same-sex, quote, marriage issues, presidential candidates. What's your take?
Well, my take is this. As a Christian, and we say that we're followers of Christ, yes, Christ did sit down with sinners and publicans, but he also led them the way to salvation. We love our family, but he says, come out from among them, don't touch the unclean things, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. There are too many scriptures. As Christians, we can't do that. You can't go. If it were my sister, which I don't happen to have a brother or a sister, but even a cousin, I would tell them, nope, this is not the right way to be, but your life should be such that they shouldn't even ask you.
Mm-hmm.
The young man that spoke before said they don't even ask, they don't even ask him about coming. So your life should be so representative of Christ that they wouldn't even think to say, well, we're going to ask Aunt Diane or Cousin Diane to come, because they know I'm not coming. They know I love them, but they know I'm not going to stand for that because it's against what God has said. He said, don't fear man, because all they can do is destroy the body, but fear God, who can destroy the body and the soul. I want to make it in. Not perfect. I want to make it in. I will tell anybody, I love gay people. I don't like your lifestyle. Jesus said, I love the sinner. I don't like your sin. And that's where I stand.
Yeah, Diane, the interesting point you make is, why would you be asked if people know your stand? Look, there are plenty of things I'm not invited to, and it's no mystery as to why I'm not invited to these things, because people know my stand and convictions. Hey, Diane, thank you for calling. I appreciate that. Look, friends, I understand that these are sensitive issues because you care about people, and someone's going to invite you to a wedding that's either a friend or a family member. But again, why are they inviting you? And do they realize they're putting you in an uncomfortable situation? Do they already know that you'll probably say you can't go? What's the best way to do it? And just consider, if you did go, what it would actually mean and what the ceremony would be. You know, a photographer asked me a few weeks ago, she's been asked to do some same-sex, quote, wedding ceremonies, and right now she'd put it off responding, but how should she respond? And I said, well, you're going to be able to pose that couple? Okay, just we need you here, two guys, we need you kind of snuggling here. All right, and here's, all right, need you, you know, we didn't get a good shot, you know, when it was kissing, the groom kissing the groom, we need to just pose you again for that. All right, I want a real sweet one here. You know, could you do that? Obviously not. Obviously not. 866-34-TRUTH. And by the way, I understand you may be a gay listener and say, when you say, I love you, but I hate your sin, you're saying you hate me because this is who I am. I understand what Christians are saying is, I don't look at who you are based on your sexual orientation. I don't look at who you are based on things that you do or who your partner is. I look at who you are because you're a fellow human being. That's what I look at. So I'm not defining you by your sexual orientation. Please understand that. Let's go to Long Island. Francesca, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi. That's a very hot topic. I was asked that question not too long ago in a theology class that I was attending. And the answer is absolutely not. No way. I don't understand. And for those who are thinking that they should attend, because, you know, Jesus was a tax collector as well. You know, if Jesus were there, he would turn those tables over and kick everybody out of that place. Absolutely not. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And that's the way when I'm thinking politics or I'm voting for someone, if you're not with Christ, and I'm hungry, and you're the only candidate that can put something in my mouth, then I will starve. Absolutely not. And I am shocked, but I have to be, you know, open to listening to everyone, accepting that, yeah, that they might go, but they will go, but nothing. No. We're not.
Yeah.
Once you go, you are saying yes to something that is against God's law.
Yeah, yeah. On a fundamental level, on a fundamental level, you are celebrating, you are endorsing, you are bearing witness to, you are giving approval to something fundamentally wrong. Yeah, Francesca, it's black and white to me. Obviously, I want to encourage discussion here and encourage people to weigh in with different viewpoints. And God may send somebody for reasons unknown to us, but from my perspective, it's a black and white issue. Thank you for the call.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Line of Fire. One more segment. I want to get to a couple of more calls. I appreciate all of you weighing in. And as always, we want to provide a forum for discussion and interaction. And you always have to ask yourself, is there ever a line that you would draw? 866-34-TRUTH. Is there ever a line that you would draw? For example, some people say, well, I'm not going to impose my morality on others. So let's just say they've got some ridiculously racy swimsuit edition of Sports Illustrated on sale at the local grocery store. I'm not going to impose my morality on them by asking them to cover that up or to put it in a different part of the store. I'd be imposing my morality on them. Well, what if there were complete naked photos, pornographic images? Would you, quote, impose your morality then? What if there is satanic music playing, you know, celebrating Satan in the store? Would you, quote, impose your morality then and ask them to change it? Would you say, hey, I can't shop here. I'm going to have to go somewhere else. See, most people have a line they would draw. They just draw it at a different place, and then they judge you for where you draw it. The question would be, is there ever a right time to draw a line and say, because of this, I can't participate? What if your brother left his wife and four kids, all right? Your brother left his wife and four kids simply because he found this secretary at his job really attractive and fell in love and lust with her and decides to divorce his wife, your sister-in-law, for no reason. She's devoted. She's a great wife. He agrees. Not her fault. I just got interested in this other lady. She's really hot. I'm a little tired of being a father and having to deal with four kids. Leaves the kids. I don't care. Let her get full custody. I'm starting a new life. And then invites you to the wedding with his new gal that he's committing adultery with in God's sight. So he's got no grounds for his adulterous acts. Would you go to that wedding? I mean, obviously, case like that in my life, I wouldn't. So we have lines that we draw. We know people may be offended because of them. So that's where we do our best to have personal relationships. And if they get offended, they get offended. That's my position. 866-34-TRUTH. Daniel in Richmond, Virginia. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hello, how are you?
Doing well, thank you.
My answer would be no. And the main reason is because I think that we are all, like, take for instance a citizen in a country. A citizen is completely tied to the constitution and the rules of that country. And so therefore Christians alike share the same, I would say, fruition. Like, you know, you being a Christian, you are not of this world, but of the next. And so therefore God asks for righteousness and he asks that we obey the constitution, which is the Bible. So the Bible is the constitution for all Christians. And so therefore, if you do follow what is in the Bible, you will actually escape a lot of contradiction, like, you know, that we are in right now. Because take, for instance, the Bible says that we should love one another. That is a command. So you should love the sinners as you love even the brethren. However, it says that, you know, homosexuality and bestiality is an abomination to the Lord Almighty. So if you can take one and then shun the other, then it is as well as you have not taken any. So my answer would be, let us take the Bible as the constitution of the Christian, and that would actually set your standards on what you can do and what you cannot do.
Yeah, yeah, I think it's pretty basic in that regard. I think there are guidelines, and if we follow those guidelines, that we will have to go against the grain, but we'll do it with love, and there may be people who hate us or reject us, but they'll ultimately know that we love them. Thank you for weighing in. Let's go over to Ken in Mackinac Island, Michigan. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi there, Dr. Brown. So appreciate what you do in the body and the kingdom. We're so appreciative of how you, on the front lines. Well, we're kind of on the front lines in that area, too, right now. We're going through an LGBT situation up here right now. God's making a way for us right now. But, you know, it's ridiculous because we are looked as intolerant when we're showing the love of God. And you know, Christians all over the place, I know, are acting with love and respect. And, you know, yet we're looked as intolerant. But, you know, the Lord asked that of us. He said if we're going to be righteous, that we would get resistance. And so, now we're just seeing it more. And a lot of our brothers and sisters across the world are facing these kind of persecutions. Worse things than we.
I mean, they're facing literal bodily persecution and imprisonment and torture and beheading and all types of absolutely mind-boggling pressures that, it's indescribable. Most of what they go through, we don't even have the slightest clue. So we're talking about relatively minor things here. Oh, they can be impacting someone losing a job, someone losing a business, someone being ostracized, that hurts, and that's impacting. I don't want to minimize that, but we don't want to compare it to the others. But you're absolutely right, Ken. We have to do what's right. Christians don't want to be branded as bigoted. They don't want to be branded as intolerant. They don't want to be branded as hateful. And that is exactly what is going to happen when you stand for what's right. But remember, that's always been the case. Believers have been called far worse. Believers in the early centuries were accused of all types of sinful practices just because they were different. And you just have to take it on the chin and overcome evil with good, overcome hatred with love, overcome misinformation with truth, overcome the spirit of the world with the spirit of God. And ultimately, God's ways will prove themselves best. And as God continues to save and transform those who identify as LGBT, their stories will touch the world as well. Thank you for the call, and continue to stand strong for what is right, because it is right. Friends, if you have never taken time to visit my website and explore the resources there, can I encourage you to do that? Go to Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. Click on latest article, click on latest video, click on latest blog, latest broadcast to catch up on what we're doing. Every week I write, on average, about 3 new articles a week. We often put new video up in the near future. God willing, we'll be putting up video on a much more frequent basis. We'll post key blogs, and all of our radio shows are archived. That's 2 hours of fresh material every single day. And then our whole bookstore, all of the 25 books that I've written, and DVDs, debates, lectures, all kinds of things, all the resources are there. And then ways that you can connect to us on Facebook, Twitter, our Jewish outreach website, all there. So much material, thousands of hours of free material, and the opportunity for you to partner with us as you click on donate. A one-time gift or monthly support would mean the world to us. It helps amplify my voice to reach more and more people. So as we do our work, just think of it. We can multiply it exponentially as we stand together. My bottom line today: I will demonstrate love. I will care for people. I will lay my life down for the salvation of others, but I will not endorse or participate in sin. Well, it's the big question now. Even Republican presidential candidates are being asked it. What about you? Would you attend a same-sex, quote, wedding?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We just had a very lively discussion last hour about Republican presidential candidates, their response to would you attend a, quote, gay wedding ceremony, and listeners weighed in, lots of great comments. Rick Santorum said he wouldn't do it. Senator Ted Cruz wouldn't answer the question directly just because of the gotcha nature, but he's made clear where he stands on these issues. Marco Rubio said, yeah, doesn't mean he's agreed, but he'd attend because he loves people. Rick Perry said he'd probably attend, but he'd want to talk about things more important like national defense and economy. And then the question is, well, isn't redefining marriage important? Some excellent discussion. We're going to talk about that some more, but I want to talk about children. I want to talk about education. I want to talk about the shunning that can happen to you just because of positions that you hold to. That are biblical, that you get shunned and rejected. 866-34-TRUTH. Going to be joined in a few minutes by Linda Harvey. We've got a lot to talk about in terms of family ministry, what's happening in the school. So very, very important broadcast today. And a shout out, all of you listening to me in Florida right now, Jacksonville, St. Augustine, and beyond, WTRJ, WAYL, WATY. We have been coming to you on the airwaves in recent weeks. So glad to be back on the air in greater Jacksonville, St. Augustine area. So again, a shout out. Give us a call so we can know you are listening. But Robert in Lake Norman, North Carolina, posed this question. And I received it right at the end of the last hour. So the question is, what's the difference between buying someone cigarettes and attending a same-sex wedding? That's a fair question. Are there certain things that you would do that don't line up with your own ethics, but it's the greater ethic of loving people and reaching out? I would say to that, that if I've ever been asked by an alcoholic on the street, and this happened when I lived in New York, lived on Long Island, but it was in New York City all the time. So you regularly get asked by homeless people, and many of them, the great majority, are alcoholics or drug addicts. At least that's the way it was in the past. You may have more young runaways now, but let's just say someone asked me, and they want money, and I see they're an alcoholic or something like that. I won't give them money. I'll tell them, hey, I'll get you something to eat. Do you want to, I'm about to go in here and get some pizza or something. You know, can I buy you a slice? In the years past, when I used to eat pizza, which was about every day. I would do that. If someone needed money for cigarettes, would I give them money for cigarettes? Now, let me say this. If it's a lost person that's lost, they don't know the Lord, they deny the Lord, cigarettes are the least issue. But could I in conscience get them cigarettes when I know it's bad and destructive? Well, if they said, hey, I need some money for cigarettes, I would give them the same answer. Tell you what, I'll get you a sandwich. Now, that person may sell the sandwich to try to buy cigarettes. I mean, what can you do in that case? But I wouldn't buy them the cigarettes. I wouldn't buy them the alcohol because that would be participating in their sin any more than if someone said, hey, man, I want to rent this video for my family. And it's some porno video. And the family's going, no, I'm not going to give you money to rent that. So, I mean, I'm giving you all different illustrations of things that are at various levels. But in the same way that I wouldn't participate in someone else's sin knowingly or endorse something that I felt fundamentally was wrong, then I would not go to a same-sex, quote, wedding ceremony. We'll be right back. Shake the nation, change the world.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Look, it's what happens the moment you stand up for morality when it comes to marriage and sexuality. You get branded, you get demonized. So you know, with Republican presidential candidates, they may be gifted in 100 areas that could greatly help America, but they will be attacked on one specific statement they made on morality, on sexuality. That is the way it is today. 866-34-TRUTH. Before I introduce my guest, Linda Harvey, founder and president of Mission America, there is an article that was sent out last night to a number of us. Linda Harvey, part of the group of conservative leaders, were discussing this, and this article was sent out by Damon Linker on theweek.com called The Shunning of Ryan T. Anderson When Support for Gay Marriage Gets Ugly. And the article noted how Ryan Anderson has accomplished a lot at the age of 33, has a PhD from Notre Dame. He was quoted by Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito in his dissenting dissenting from the majority opinion in United States versus Windsor. He was recently named the William E. Simon Senior Research Fellow in American Principles and Public Policy at the Conservative Heritage Foundation, as a result of which school that he attended, Quaker Friends School when he was younger, put a link up saying, hey, you know, Ryan Anderson graduated from our school. Well, the moment it was realized, wait a second, Ryan Anderson opposes redefining marriage, the head of the school took down the link, posted an apology, a long apology, expressing sincere regret for lack of sensitivity and anguish and confusion and pain that the link inflicted on members of the school community who thought that the link implied that the school was standing behind Anderson's views. In other words, because he graduated and they said, hey, congratulations to, you know, one of our grads who's achieved XYZ at this time, was just written up recently fairly in the Washington Post as a conservative thinker, an important conservative thinker. We don't agree with his position, but you just say that. But no, you can't even acknowledge that he graduated from your school. Linda Harvey has experienced this firsthand. Her group, Mission America, which seeks to cover the latest cultural and social trends in our country, what they might mean for Christians, and especially focuses on children's education. Her group was branded an anti-gay hate group in March 2012 by the Southern Poverty Law Center. When she wrote a book, Maybe He's Not Gay, there was a flood of attack on the book simply for helping your kids work through the issue of same-sex attraction. Got flooded with attack before the thing even came out. So this is what she lives with all the time. Linda, welcome to The Line of Fire.
Hey, it's great to be with you, Michael.
Yes, Linda, am I exaggerating the vilification, the rejection, the reproach, the demonizing of people that stand for marriage and morality today?
Oh, absolutely not. In fact, you have been a target of it yourself. I'm sure people know that if they listen to your program. And, you know, it's amazing because what really is astonishing is that folks like us are considered a threat. You know, we're really not a threat. If we're the biggest problem that the left and that the sexual anarchists have, then they should just pack up and go home because we are not threatening people. But they have to paint you that way because this is part of the agenda and the strategy. There has to be a villain. And if you don't really look like a villain, they'll just figure out a way to make you look like a villain.
Yeah, exactly. And you will absolutely be branded and vilified. You focused a lot on children's schools, children's education. You wrote a book called Maybe He's Not Gay. All right. First, tell our listeners what the book is about and then what happened when you were getting ready to release the book.
Yeah, I wrote this book about 5 years ago and then revised it and decided to put it out the beginning of 2014, so it's been a little over a year. And it's a book for late middle school, high school, and young adults. And it's a very conversational book. I don't pack it with data about, you know, homosexuality not being an inborn that anybody can find, you know, an inborn condition like race, which is the claim that's made all the time. I just make it conversational. I give kids lots of evidence that they can just look around them that it's probably not inborn, that person who's your friend, maybe he's not gay. Maybe there is not really a condition that's determinative that he is something called gay. Maybe there's a way to work around those feelings. And so I wrote this book, and there's a number of chapters, and it's a fairly quick read. And so we put this book out, and as soon as it came out on Amazon.com on Kindle, before the paperback was even put up, within 2 days, the gay blogs had put out a notice on this that Linda Harvey has a book out, and it's, you know, she's a hate group, blah, 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 blah. And they had deluged the site with one-star negative, scoffing, obscene, just ridiculous reviews. They hadn't read it. I mean, nobody had time to read it. So what was really interesting, though, is it ended up being God works in mysterious ways, as I'm sure you can attest.
Yep.
And we took the book off, the publisher and I took the book off, and then they were yelling and screaming about, wow, isn't it wonderful? Amazon has pulled down this hate book. In fact, they were coming out in favor of censorship, or what they thought was censorship. But no, I pulled it down so that people on our side would have a chance to read it, and then hopefully I would get a more balanced review. And that's exactly what happened. So when I put it back up, you know, there was like mumbling and no acknowledgement from the other side. But that's the kind of dirty tricks they pull. And you're quite familiar with this too, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. When A Queer Thing Happened to America came out, and since it came out, I've had several publishers apologize to me for not being willing to publish it. But when it came out and we self-published it, determined to get the word out regardless of opposition that we had, one day, suddenly, it got blasted with bad reviews on Amazon, these horrific and very, very vile, unclean, I mean, really ugly, ugly stuff. And we realized that there was a well-known gay activist blog that posted a link saying, all right, basically go after this guy. So we presented that to Amazon and said, hey, here's the blog. Here's what they said. Here are the responses. And they pulled a lot of them to their credit. Now, they haven't always done that, but they did. But friends, I want to encourage you to do two things. I want to encourage you to check out the book, Maybe He's Not Gay. All right. So Linda Harvey, the author, Maybe He's Not Gay. It's talking through issues. It's looking at things with your kids. There's a tremendous media bombardment. There's a cultural bombardment in the schools. One middle school teacher, Linda, I was talking to on the plane, and she was totally pro-gay. She said that a 12-year-old came out the other day, a boy came out in school and said, I'm gay. She said it's become the thing to do in middle school. And then the next day he said, I think I made a mistake. Can I take that back? So this is the level of immaturity you're dealing with, and the level of confusion. And we know the surveys that have been done that indicate, say, if you ask a kid at 14, are you gay, that you're going to have a higher percentage thinking they might be than if you ask them 10 years later. It'll be a fraction of that because they've sorted through a lot of issues. So check out the book and then write a review. You still got a ton of these negative one-star reviews that the vast majority, you can tell, are not written by readers of the book at all. They're just blasting you and saying nasty things about you. But this is what happens, friends. Linda, I've got a bunch of questions having to do with school system, but I saw this article on LifeSite News a couple days ago. The headline is Lesbian Teacher, How I Convince Kids to Accept Gay, Quote, Marriage Starting at 4 years Old. And this is a teacher at a public school in Ontario in Canada. Does that surprise you that a teacher is openly saying, I have an agenda and here's how I work with kids as young as four to change their view on this?
Not at all. I've been doing this monitoring and reporting on what's been going on with our kids and youth and the way this agenda is being packaged and sold to them for 20 years now. It seems unbelievable that it's been that long, but it was this kind of stuff that drew me into it. When I began as a mother, as a wife and a mother, and I knew, fairly new Christian 20 years ago, when I began to read the manipulation of our tender children's sympathies, and that's really what's going on. It's propaganda, and they're taking kids and manipulating them and bypassing parents, bypassing school boards, and saying, hey, this is something, if you're a really nice person, you will embrace this. And of course, they're implying that it's like, you know, racial equality, and that's all buried in there. And, you know, we know this has been going on for a long time. Well, it's only getting more aggressive and more bold because there's little accountability. Very few parents are willing, even when they find out about it, and many don't even know how much propaganda, how much activism is going on in the classrooms, such as the Day of Silence, which just happened last week, for instance. When parents find out, they're often unwilling to go up against the school system and make us think about it. And that's become a real hard lesson. That it's like pastors, you know, you find out.
Yeah, tell you what, yeah, let me jump in here, and we'll come back to that. Why are parents often misinformed? And why, when they do know, are they sometimes unwilling to take a stand?
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. I'm speaking with Linda Harvey, founder and president of Mission America, to find out more what's happening, especially in children's schools, in terms of sexual morality, wider issues that kids are being influenced by. Go to missionamerica.com. Linda, if we just look at the larger issue of sexual morality, putting aside homosexual issues, what types of things have been taught that we can obviously suitably talk about on the radio? What types of things have been taught to kids in sex ed classes, and how young does it go?
Well, it's all kind of blended in together. Homosexuality is now in there, in that mix.
Yep.
Quite often. Well, I believe we would be able to talk about this. I talk about this on my radio show in Ohio, is the pushing of condoms and the overt demonstration of those to kids. And they say that, you know, use these for all kinds of things, including the acts that are characteristic of homosexuals, and that this is safe, and that this is all natural, and this is all normal. And younger and younger it goes. Certainly by seventh grade, many public schools will start having those kinds of demonstrations in the classroom with mixed sex. I mean, you've got boys and girls. Imagine the, I don't know about you when you were in seventh grade, but I would have been horrified and humiliated. It would have, and I was not, I didn't come from a conservative Christian home at that point. It would have been so embarrassing. They're ripping apart modesty, for one thing. That's one of the underlying goals. But it goes further than that. The Common Core standards, for instance, are when sexuality education starts to line up with Common Core, there is a set agenda, a set curriculum that's ready to plug into Common Core that starts in the elementary grades, and it starts with indoctrination, acceptance of sexual orientation, acceptance of gender change in elementary school. So that's where we're going, and we're there, and we're going even in greater detail and more obscene and innocence assaulting programs all the time.
Yeah, and for me, seventh grade, yeah, that was still a time, as much as I was just a secular kid growing up in a non-religious Jewish home, that was pretty much a time of innocence. Obviously, you know, the tumultuous 60s, the counterculture revolution, all kinds of changes came quickly. But yeah, I mean, I look at our grandkids today. Our oldest granddaughter is 14, and any of the things we're talking about would be utterly mortifying for her to be in a place where all the kids are being instructed in these things, especially what's supposed to be normal and acceptable. What about GSAs, Gay Straight Alliances? What do they do in the schools? Why should parents be concerned?
Well, this has been one of the things that I have been trying to alert people to for a long time. Many of us have, that these homosexual clubs were a deliberate effort by the radical group GLSEN, the Gay, Lesbian, and Straight Education Network. And they have largely succeeded in planting. There are thousands of these homosexual clubs, often called gay-straight alliances, although they may go by different names in certain schools. But they're in thousands and thousands of schools, and high schools as well as middle schools and even a few elementary schools where kids can go and they have, there's an advisor. Frequently it's a homosexual teacher or faculty member. And what they get in there is activism, propaganda, a fast track into the lifestyle. And I think it foments more division and hostility. It is anti-Christian. Their sentiments are generally that we are the enemy, don't listen to Christians. And parents are even the enemy because kids will go, many, many schools, there have been some court cases where parents are not supposed to go, the school is not to, supposed to reveal to parents that a student has joined one of these. So your child, an 11-year-old middle schooler, could be going to the after school or during lunch hour Gay Straight Alliance, learning all this information and thinking perhaps, you know, maybe he thinks he is gay and maybe he should start getting online and looking at homosexual pornography and then going down to the community center, which is also off-site of the school, and linking up with 18 and 20-year-old homosexuals who are volunteers there. I mean, it is so, it is, there's so many bad things about it, I can't even begin to talk about it, but it's also an activist group on campus to pressure the faculty in the school and the school board to do what they want them to do.
Right, so a kid that's questioning his sexual identity could, quote, come out to peers there and even to faculty advisors without the parents knowing. It's supposedly to give them a safe space, but obviously what it does is completely undermines the parental relationship with the student, with the child, and puts them in an environment where they're not necessarily going to be encouraged, okay, go out and have a fling with a 20-year-old, but they're going to be in an environment now where homosexual relationships and potentially homosexual activity is encouraged among kids and the parents completely blocked out from it. We've just got about 2 minutes before the break, but why do you think that many parents who are loving, caring parents are reluctant to get involved and tackle these issues in the schools?
I think it's the same issue we have in churches. People don't like conflict. We're conflict averse in our culture. We have, and a lot of people are not conversant on this issue, and they don't want to be. They also know that there is a huge, I think it's almost like a spell that's over our country, where this is the litmus test. As you said when you opened the program, this is a litmus test, and people automatically assume you are a Neanderthal bigot if you have any questions at all, and you question this agenda, and you question that this is inborn, and that this is good for kids. And so parents don't want to go up against that and, you know, be slammed in the press and all their name and their children's names all over the school. I've had that happen in this community with friends of mine, myself, other people I know. Parents have been through a lot when they take a stand. So that's the reason, I think.
Yeah, and there's a lot to be lost when people do stand, but there's a whole lot more to be lost when we don't stand. And Linda, I know you get encouragement from many. You get people thanking you for what you do. But in many ways, do what you do, and as your husband stood with you these many days, these many years, it's a thankless thing. It's not something that you asked for. But obviously, the Lord commends you for doing what's right and caring and reaching out, even though you're going to get blasted for it. So friends, visit missionamerica.com and check out the book, especially if you're dealing with this in your own family or a friend's family, Maybe He's Not Gay by Linda Harvey. Thanks so much for spending time with us today.
Thank you so much, and God bless you for what you do, Michael.
All right. Thanks again. That's missionamerica.com. Hey, friends, just a word of encouragement to you to join with us, to partner with us. Day and night, we get people thanking us for the radio ministry, thanking us for writing, thanking us for the stands that we take. We could do it even better. We could reach far more people. My voice, if you believe in what I'm saying, could be amplified and multiplied with your help. Why not become a torchbearer today, one of our monthly supporters standing with us? I know for some it's a sacrifice, for others it's easy. Put aside a dollar or more per day, $30 or more per month. Join our support team, and together we'll make a difference in America and around the world. Go right now, AskDrBrown.org. Click on donate. This is Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution, with a shout out to all of our torchbearers. You, our monthly supporters, are the backbone of this ministry, and you keep the line of fire burning bright. To find out, friends, how you can become a torchbearer, go to askdrbrown.org. Click on donate.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, if you live in Charlotte, North Carolina, or anywhere near Charlotte, tomorrow night, 7 p.m., I'm scheduled to have a friendly debate with atheist David Smalley. He is a radio host and devotes a lot of his time to these issues. We've never met, don't know a lot about him, just trying to find out some more so I can be ready to respond to him in a good, healthy way at the debate. But it's not a formal, you give a presentation, I give a presentation, you rebut, I rebut. It's free-flowing, conversational, friendly, that's how it's being described. It's being held at a Unitarian Universalist church. So I wonder, they're going to probably be, where are they going to be? I mean, if it's mainly those folks attending, that's interesting. It's a Christianity-Atheism debate. If you live in Greater Charlotte, 234 North Sharon Amity Road. Some of you know right where that is. 234 North Sharon Amity Road. And at 7 o'clock tomorrow night, you say, I don't live anywhere near there. Yeah, I understand. Most of you listening around the country don't live near there. However, there will be a live radio webcast as well. We'll get details on that. We'll post it on Facebook and send it out on Twitter. But on my website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, right where it says contact, you scroll down, you see itinerary, and you can find out more there. I'd love to see you. If you are there tomorrow night, let me know. Hey, I'm one of your listeners, and love to meet you face to face. I imagine there'll be time to do that. But that audience, a Unitarian Universalist, they're going to be kind of somewhat with David Smalley, somewhat with me. On the one hand, they'll be with him in questioning this dogmatic view that only people coming through Jesus go to heaven or will be with the Lord forever, or that there's a hell where people are punished for rejecting God. They'd be more with me in saying that there is a real God and that Jesus really does change people's lives, or, I mean, who knows where they'll... Anyway, that'll be interesting, but should be... and by the way, there are tickets being sold at the door, apparently just expenses with the event. It's just $10 for adults, $5 for students. So if you're anywhere around there, please come to the event. All right, I want to give you some opportunity to weigh in on the question of, would you attend a same-sex, quote, wedding ceremony? Your best friend invites you, you know, for many, many years, and now the person's come out as lesbian. She's going to be getting, quote, married to her partner. Family member invites you. What would you do? You want to walk in love? You don't want to offend? You don't want to put people off? What would you do? Here's how Rick Perry answered the question when asked by Hugh Hewitt. Clip number one.
Probably would, but I think the real issue here is we need to be, you know, stand up and say, hey, listen, you know what, that's an interesting question, here's my answer, but get this thing back to talking about how do we get Americans back working again, how do we get this economy back on track. I mean, to me, there's two big issues out here in front of us. It's the economy and it's national defense, and if you're not really talking about those two on a regular basis and coming up with solutions on how to get this country back working, how to get this debt under control, and how to put America back into a position of being respected by our allies and being an influence in the world, then you're spending some time that frankly doesn't need to be spent on some issues that are secondary or tertiary to the future of this country.
Yeah, I respect Rick Perry saying, hey, I don't want to focus on this. That's a question that's being put to Republican candidates, but I don't want to focus on that. I understand that. And he said he probably would attend. I would differ on that. But where I really differ is he's referring to this as secondary or tertiary to the future of this country. In other words, what's more important is economy, national defense, and redefining marriage, secondary, tertiary. Ooh, I don't think so. I do not agree with Governor Perry on that. The issue of marriage, family, redefining marriage, that's of primary importance to our country. We'll be right back.
fire we
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
On a busy corner in downtown Seattle,
a symbolic memorial for the earth.
The candles are lit, the flowers placed, and the fake monks are standing watch.
We mingle here today to mourn the death of the late great earth and her children.
All right, I'm not majoring on that, but a funeral service for Earth in Seattle. Activists in black monastic robes lit candles, placed flowers on a black casket containing a plastic Earth beach ball, and solemnly marched the streets of Seattle. They're most concerned about nuclear weapons. Oh, fair concern about nuclear weapons, but all of the other issues that are allegedly destroying the Earth, and we always do a better job of stewardship. But I'd almost guarantee you that the vast majority of people that participated in that were pro-abortion. I'd almost guarantee it. I don't think you differ with me. All right, but I'm not standing there. I'm not majoring on that at all. So you get an invitation from a family member, from a friend, asking you to be part of a same-sex, quote, wedding ceremony. Let's talk about being best man or bridesmaid or something like that. We're just talking about an invitation. You want to walk in love. You don't want to put people off. You want to reach them with the message of Jesus. You know that Jesus hung out with people he differed with the tax collectors who notoriously corrupt and prostitutes. I mean, it must have looked bad. But did he ever participate in sin with them? Did he ever sin with them? Did he ever encourage their sin? Did he ever endorse their sin or sanction their sin in any way? 866-34-TRUTH. By the way, today is Earth Day. That's just not meaning everyone on the Earth celebrating it, but it's been designated as Earth Day. But today is also, in Israel, Israel's Memorial Day, when Israel remembers those who were slain in war or killed by terrorists. And when you're a country as small as Israel is, and when you are part of the Jewish people with as painful a history as we have, every life is remembered all the more. Yes, every life counts in every country and every civilization, but in certain ways you are more acutely aware of a loss when you are smaller, when you can feel it more intensely. So on this day, Yoni Netanyahu, the older brother of Israel's prime minister, is remembered on Yom HaZikaron. His ultimate sacrifice in 1976, rescuing 102 hostages in the raid on Entebbe. I mean, a brilliantly conceived, brilliantly carried out raid to free the Jewish hostages, the Israeli hostages in Entebbe, 102 of them freed. And as they were leaving, one casualty on the team, Yoni Netanyahu, was shot and killed. Wasn't it by someone that was guarding the premises that had been wounded and then was able to shoot and kill Benjamin Netanyahu's brother? He would be one of the thousands remembered on this day. All right, 866-34-TRUTH. Matt, let's just replay the Marco Rubio quotes. He is being asked by Jorge Ramos about attending a wedding. This is Fusion TV's America program. This is what he had to say if he was invited to a same-sex, quote, wedding ceremony.
You believe that a marriage should be between a man and a woman.
Yes.
But if someone in your family or your office happens to be gay and they invite you to their wedding, would you go?
Yeah, if there's someone that I love that's in my life, I don't necessarily have to agree with their decisions or the decisions they've made to continue to love them and participate in important events. No, I'm a member of the Catholic faith. It teaches that marriages, after you get married the first time, if you've been divorced, you can't be remarried. And yet people attend second marriages all the time. Ultimately, how you treat a person that you care for and love is different from what your opinion is or what your faith teaches marriage should be. And I would point out that we live in a free society. If people want to change the definition of marriage, they should petition their state legislature and they can have that debate in a political arena. Who I don't think should be redefining marriage is the court system.
Now, Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker has not yet announced his candidacy, but is considered a front runner. He said that he attended a same-sex reception, but not a ceremony. I haven't been to a homosexual wedding, that's true. He didn't use the word homosexual, but referring to that. Even though my position on marriage is still that's defined between a man and a woman, I support the Constitution of the state. But for someone I love, we've been at a reception. Senator Rick Santorum said no, he wouldn't attend. But he pointed out how you get demonized by wherever you stand on this. And then Ted Cruz said, Ted Cruz just bypassed the question, wasn't going to answer it directly. And his reason for not answering it directly was just that this is what the media wants to catch you in. But he's been absolutely clear. He's been encouraging pastors to preach on marriage this Sunday, on what biblical marriage means. He's encouraging pastors to do it before the Supreme Court begins hearing of oral arguments on Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, about redefining marriage. In the natural, looks 80 to 90% certain that the Supreme Court will make the wrong decision on this, which would have dramatic negative implications nationally and would be as ugly and wrong as the Roe v. Wade decision of 73. But that's not the end of the story. All that means is there are many more mountains to overcome and many more challenges in doing it. What about you? What would you do, not as a politician, but as a follower of Jesus? 866-34-TRUTH. Before I go to the phones, massresistance.org has a special report how Elena Kagan helped, quote, queer Harvard Law School. Back in 2010, June of 2010, Mass Resistance published a report talking about Elena Kagan at Harvard when she was dean at Harvard Law School, 2003-2009. All of the gay activist things that she did there to help, quote, queer Harvard University. She has recently performed a same-sex, quote, wedding. There is a very, very strong argument that she needs to recuse herself, that she cannot legitimately, nor Justice Ginsburg, rule on this when she has been so open about her views on it and aggressively pushed for a certain agenda. How can she now judge in a non-partial way? 866-34-TRUTH. We'll start in Raleigh, North Carolina. Bobby, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, how's it going?
Doing very well, thank you.
To comment about whether or not I would go to a wedding or reception of a friend or a loved one, my answer would be absolutely no, regardless of, you know, how that may make my friend or loved one or family member feel by me not going, because if they know me at all, they would already know what my stance is on this. And also, I would say that, you know, even if I got some pushback from them, like, you know, hey, if you're my friend, I just really, it would mean a lot if you came. I would just have to say, well, you know what my faith means to me, and it would mean a lot to me also for you to not ask me to do something that goes against my conscience. And have me to come and celebrate with you or acknowledge something that you're celebrating that I know is harmful.
If they said, hey, we're going to be in town next week, can we get together for a meal? Would you do that?
Yeah, sure. I'm not celebrating anything then.
Got it. Yeah, all clear. So in other words, you're not there, as they say, we now pronounce you groom and groom, and you may now kiss the groom. You're not there for that. You are not, by your presence, giving any type of endorsement or encouragement. You're simply saying, hey, I care about you, your friends, your family, I love you. I'm glad to take you out for a meal, but I'm not going to endorse something I believe is fundamentally wrong or participate in it. Yeah, clear difference. That's how I see it, Bobby. I see it the exact same way. Thank you for the call, sir. Do you have the same perspective or a different perspective? 866-34-TRUTH. I don't want to rush the call. I've only got 30 seconds or so before the break, so stay right there. Get your calls on the other side of the break. But let me encourage you. With whatever you do, bathe it in love. You might be a gay listener and say, what kind of love? You're already rejecting me as a person. No, no, no. No one's rejecting you as a person saying we can't participate in the wedding ceremony. We're saying we don't believe that's marriage. We don't believe that marriage is a union of just any two people. If it's a union of any two people, why two? If it's not the union of a male and female and the uniqueness that that brings in every way, biologically and socially and emotionally and in parenting and on, and of course the fundamental ability to reproduce between a male and a female. If it's not a male and a female, then why two people? Why not three? Why not four? Why not one? And we don't believe it's marriage. But we don't define you by your sexual orientation. We define you as a human being. And we care about you as a human being, and that's how we're going to relate to you as a human being. Back with your calls.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Let me try to grab a few more calls here. We'll go to Cary, North Carolina. Jim, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown, how you doing?
Doing very well, thanks.
I just want to say real quick that I love the show. I've learned a lot listening to you on the Truth Network here. And to answer your question, no, I be honest with you, I would not be invited to a family member or close friend gay wedding or marriage because of what I post on my Facebook account. But the reason I was calling in is because when you played that Rick Perry quote or however you want to, whatever you want to call it, that clip there, I kind of agree with him. I think that the national security is a top priority. I don't think he meant it that the gay marriage issue is, you know, it's more on the back burner with the rise of ISIS and everything. Then that's where I see the real importance right now, and being that personally I believe that they are here already for the fact that the borders are not closed. And, you know, in my opinion, that's because of Obama not shutting the borders down.
Yeah, what I would have preferred was him saying, look, this is a major issue for our nation. The question of redefining marriage, the question of religious freedoms is a major issue. You all know where I stand on that, but I want to focus on these other issues. In other words, the downplaying of this and to say, hey, we're going to talk about jobs, we're going to talk about national security, just sounded to me like a politician not wanting to get caught off of his talking points. I would have rather than he said that these were secondary or tertiary issues, that he did acknowledge the fundamental importance of marriage, family, religious freedom, but then said, hey, I'm not going to get into a debate about whether I'd attend a same-sex wedding ceremony or not. There are more important issues to talk about. But thank you for the call, Jim, and thank you for the kind words. And yes, a caller last hour said, why would someone that knows you even invite you? Because they would know where you stand on these things. Let's see. Let's go to Des Moines, Iowa. Sandra, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. I started listening to your show after you spoke at my church a few months ago, First Church of the Open Bible.
Yes, I remember
and
that well.
I did not know about your show until then, so that's when I started listening.
And in fact, we have now gone to an even larger signal to reach many, many more that will air one hour earlier. So it'll be on from 1 to 2 your time instead of 2 to 3 your time. But hopefully we can reach a lot more people there. But anyway, yeah, good to talk to you. Thank you, Sandra.
Yeah. And I appreciate the way you speak with love to everyone, even when they have an opposing view. So I appreciate that about you.
Well, thank you.
I would not go to a same-sex wedding, and I'm pretty much a repeat of, I think his name was Bobby, the previous caller, where I think my friends and my family, they know exactly where I stand, and I would be surprised to be invited, and if I was not invited, I would not be offended because, for that reason, that they know exactly what I believe on it, so... I'm kind of a repeat of everybody.
No, that's good, though. It's fine to weigh in and make yourself heard on that. I do appreciate it. So thank you for calling. Look, we walk in love. We reach out to people. We tell them we care about them, but we can't participate in something that we differ with fundamentally. And again, you're talking about, you know, being there for an event, and you may now kiss the groom or kiss the bride, and the two walking down the aisle together, everyone clapping and applauding, and you know, your participation there is saying something. If you said, look, I can't go because of my religious convictions, but I'd love to take you out for a meal another day. I'd love to spend some time with you or invite you over to my home. You can reach out 100 different ways. And again, to repeat myself yet once more, the rabbi that befriended me as a brand new believer and tried to bring me away from faith in Jesus to traditional Judaism, became friendly with Nancy when we met as well. We were both 19 when we met, Nancy and I, and I'd known the rabbi a couple years at that point. And we invited him to the wedding, and he declined as a rabbi. Couldn't go. In good conscience, he couldn't go as a rabbi because it wasn't a traditional Jewish wedding, but we remained friends. 866-34-TRUTH. Ann in Jacksonville, Florida. I take it you're listening on WTRJ-FM. Is that right?
I guess that's at 91.7.
Yeah, we have just expanded our coverage in the Jacksonville area, so welcome to the broadcast. Yeah, what are your thoughts, Ann?
I wouldn't attend either. I mean, because it's wrong. You know, the Bible tells you it's wrong. Gay marriage between two men or two women is wrong. And as far as the quote that you spoke on with the guy earlier about, he was saying that, you know, the Bible tells you about the divorcing of a woman and marrying another, you know, person if you divorce. That is a totally different situation because my cousin, I have a favorite cousin, that she married this guy, but she was seeing him while he was also married but was getting the divorce. And she was my favorite cousin, but I wouldn't go to their wedding because it was wrong the way she did things, the way they got married. That was totally wrong. And I didn't agree with it. My soul didn't agree with it. My spirit didn't agree with it. And I prayed to God, and he spoke with me, you know, and the Holy Ghost spoke with me and said, no, it's wrong. You can't go there. No matter how much you love her, you can't go there, you know.
Yep.
So you gotta confer with God. You got to speak with God on these matters, you know. And let the Holy Spirit lead you.
Yeah, and you're exactly right in saying that they're heterosexual weddings that we couldn't attend either. In other words, there are times we have to draw a line and say, so sorry, but I can't go. I love you and I care for you, but I can't go. And if that ends the relationship, that ends it. Of course, on our end, we keep reaching out in love. Thank you for weighing in. Larry in Fort Worth, Texas, we're almost out of time, but what's your position, sir?
I go to a 12-step program with some gay people, and I have lunch with them sometimes, but I would never attend a wedding or a reception for gay people. I hate to sin, but not to sinner, but I don't have to participate.
Right, so it's the participation in that raises the issue. You can be friends, you can participate in other areas of life together, but not something that lends your support or sanction to such an event. And they would take it if you said, I can't be there. They would take it as you can't support what we're doing. If that means that they reject you forever as friends, so be it. You still reach out. You still care. You still show love if it's a family member. Some things get uncomfortable, but we have to do what's right, friends. Is it possible God could send someone on a mission, and that mission would be to reach out? Yeah, God could do, and he's God, but my position would be could not attend under any circumstances, but I'll reach out in love. Sorry, I cannot get to any more calls because we are out of air time. But friends, thank you for the many kind words that you speak about the broadcast. Thank you for your words of love and encouragement. Why not join our support team? We are listener-sponsored. We are listener-supported. The reason we're on the radio is because people are helping us be on the radio. That's how we're able to do what God's called us to do. It's a joint team effort. Join our support team, become a torchbearer, and we'll sow back into you many ways every month as you do. Go to Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. Click on Donate to find out more. My bottom line today, walking in love does not mean compromising our convictions. We may be misunderstood, but we'll do what's right either way.